The Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly, brought to you by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Here's Brady Hull and Kevin Lionel.
Welcome into Rams Weekly. Getting set for Ag Day coming up on Saturday, or today if you're listening to the replay of this show on Saturday morning. And we're also talking about a victory for Colorado State Rams. It took CSU a while to get that first win of the season last year. Got it done after 3 weeks, or in the third week of games for CSU. 1-2 after beating, I think, a tough Middle Tennessee team. Kevin Lytle, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. How are you?
You know what? I like when we can sit in here and talk about wins. That makes it a little more fun.
Yeah, like you say, a little earlier than a year ago when it took till week five or game five. Until that happened. But yeah, things are looking cautiously optimistic for CSU football fans, I think.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, Middle Tennessee is a team that, if you pay much attention to college football...
Perennial bowl team. I think it's like 8 out of the last 13 years or something like that. They're an 8-win team a year ago. Returned a pretty decent number of starters. They've played a very tough schedule, so their record isn't good. But I think that, you know, that's a bowl team again, probably, you know, up toward the top of their conference. That's a nice win.
Yeah, and to come back after being down at the half, an emotional week with the showdown before that and all that stuff, it kind of felt like at halftime maybe everything was stacking up against this team and we were going to start seeing more of the same. But second half rolls around, maybe the start of a changing of the culture in Colorado State.
Yeah, you know, we talked this time last week about, you know, how are they going to come out? Are they going to have the same energy as the CU game? And, you know, I'll be the first to put my hand up and say maybe I didn't understand everything going on that would lead to that not really being realistic. There were, you know, obviously we talked about the death threats and everything. That undoubtedly took a toll on everyone. Just the everything that goes with that. That's stuff you're not prepared for. Then there was sickness. You know, the top three receivers were all sick during the week. Torrey Horton didn't practice all week. There's just so much off the field that it probably wasn't realistic to think that they would play with that the exact same, you know, level of energy that they had the week before. But like you said, I think the big thing is they figured it out. I mean, you and I have watched this team, you know, week in, week out for the last however many years. Over the last 5-6 years, that team loses. You know, CSU loses that game.
No question.
But they found a way. There was weird stuff, weird plays that went against CSU, a bunch of funkiness. They were down at half. CSU almost never comes back from those. But they found a way. You know, I think there are a lot of things that, you know, didn't go very well, but they won a game against a pretty good team on the road, you know, flying across country. That's a nice victory.
Well, and I think, again, don't want to take anything away from the defense, but offensively, part of the reason why I think that I feel like they can win games now, whereas last year, Adazio era, toward the end of the Bobo era, the offense really, you know, Bobo had some good offenses, but still, this, we haven't seen an offense like this for CSU in a while in both the Colorado game and Middle Tennessee, where you do have confidence that if they need to, they can move the ball down the field.
And I think, again, one of the things that was most encouraging, the first two drives were pretty good. They scored 10 points in those two drives. So that's a nice start. And then it just kind of fell apart. And the rest of the first half, it was terrible, frankly. I mean, they did nothing offensively, which obviously that part's not good. But then they figured out a way to start moving and moved it a bunch in the second half. And the offense was quite good. So being able to rebound within a game, again, that's not something this offense has done in quite a while. And not rebound and put up, you know, because last year I think we saw some fourth quarters where they put up some yards, some points, but it was, I don't want to say fake, but, you know, the game was kind of in control. To do it in a time when you can actually change the outcome of a game, I thought that was really important and impressive. You know, Braden Fowler, Nick Losey, still young, still very inexperienced. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a wave of up and down. But, man, the guy figured it out in that second half and, you know, got the ball playmakers and they did the thing.
Since he took over for Clay Millen in that Washington State game, the Rams have, if you think about it, other than, you know, bad second quarter against Middle Tennessee, the Rams have moved the ball up and down the field with him as the starting quarterback.
It looks totally different. Yeah. I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago we were talking, you know, I literally wrote that we're not going to use the term Fort air raid anymore until that actually shows up. All of a sudden, it's here.
Now it's
like,
here.
Like it looks like it. You know, again, it's not perfect. There are things to fix, but the offense, like you have trust watching games that there's going to be a time where they're going to make some big plays. And, you know, it could be individuals, you know, taking some small. Justice Ross Simmons, there's that really big one where he took, I think it was a 3rd and 6. He took basically a screen or short pass and turned it into 47. They have guys that can do that. Obviously, Dallin Holker just keeps being Dallin Holker. Yeah. Torrey Horn keeps being Torrey Horn. But you're starting to get confidence of like, eh, you know, even if it's not going great, I think something will happen.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. When you add enough dynamic players on that offense where, again, you look at Torrey Horton against CU, nobody could stop him. There was just, and then Dallin Holker for the most part, same story against Middle Tennessee, nobody could stop him. You're starting to get to the point where there's 4 or 5 like really great players on this team that are going to help elevate the rest surrounding them, and that's part of the reason I think that confidence is starting to grow.
Yeah, and you needed that depth. You know, it was Torrey Horton and kind of no one else last year. Justice Ross Simmons came on as the season went on. You could see the potential.
Yeah.
But you needed more, and now Dallin Holker, obviously, I need to look at the numbers, but feels like all his catches are either third down, you know, conversions to get first down, a touchdown, or some type of big play. He's really provided that. Lewis Brown had the huge CU game. Justice Ross Simmons had a big Middle Tennessee game. Those guys being your second, third receiving threats is really just opening it up and allowing, again, this offense to look like it is supposed to look like. Because that's one of the things of the air raid is, yeah, you're going to have some stars. You know, Romeo Dubs is doing his thing in the NFL after doing it at Nevada with Norvell. So you're going to have stars, but you're supposed to have lots of guys making impacts, and that's what you're getting, you know, in these last 2 weeks.
Kevin, let's talk about the quarterback situation just quickly here, yeah. Kind of a side note. Obviously, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, barring any kind of injury or anything like that, knock on wood, is proving that he's the guy. Clay Millen, there was so much talked about when he was on the bench in Nevada behind Carson Strong. And then transfer over, a lot of people were like, oh, this Ford mm-hmm. air raid thing is going to take hold quickly because that's the heir apparent there with Clay Millen. Didn't work out last year. There were excuses, but maybe a lot of that was on Clay. And then you get to that Washington State game. For whatever reason, it's just not working. Do you see Clay? Now, he transferred already. So if he were to transfer again, he would have to sit out a year. Do you see his future with CSU being very, very long?
Yeah, it's tricky because, just like you say, he's used his one-time transfer. So if he were to try and transfer to another FBS program, he'd basically have to apply for a waiver, which some of those get granted, but it seems like the NCAA is really kind of clamping down on those. He's used his red shirt, so that takes away the option. You know, because if you had a red shirt, you could transfer and basically use your red shirt as your sit-out year. So that's not there. You know, you can graduate and transfer for quote unquote free, but yeah, obviously I don't know his exact schooling situation, but you know, with his age, it feels like that would be hard. So yeah, it's hard to see, you know, exactly what happens. But as you know, we all kind of talk about, things change really fast.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
We didn't expect in week 3 we would be talking about, or after game 3, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi kind of owning this offense. You know, so obviously we hope there's no injury or anything like that, but things can change quickly in college football, and you know, who knows if there'll be an opportunity where Millen ends up back in and maybe plays much better, and it could change again. But yeah, right now with how it's going, it is hard to see, you know, what Millen's CSU future is, because you know, there's, you know, BFN right now is taking hold. They really like Jackson Brousseau, the true freshman, had a strong camp. They have another highly touted verbal commit in Darius Curry from out in California. That's just the nature of the quarterback positions, other than kicker and punter, the one spot where depth matters, but it's different because one guy is going to play ideally 100% of the important snaps. It's not a position you rotate if things are going well.
Yeah, that's the tough part. You're right. Like with the Torrey Horton, Justice Ross Simmons.
Yeah, you can have 3 great receivers and everyone be happy. You can't have 3 great quarterbacks and all of them be happy.
Yeah, no question about it. It's tough. And again, I know Clay personally. I know you know Clay well.
Yeah.
You feel for the guy.
It's the business side. I mean,
yes,
you feel bad. Like,
yeah,
these are kids. It's a tough way to learn. And they know it. You know, it's not like, you know, Clay Millen and all these guys. They're aware. Like, hey, one guy's going to play. If you are that guy and don't perform, you're going to end up not playing. Like, they're aware of it, but that doesn't make it easy. It is tough.
Yeah, and then now you have to try to put on that happy face and be the backup.
It's tough to do that. I mean, that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard.
You uproot yourself. You know, you're in Nevada. You think that's going to be where you're going to play college football. Your coach gets hired, and then you follow him.
Well, and he had a crazy train. You know, he was probably going to Arizona, and then they had a coaching change. You know, when he was in high school, and that shuffled, he almost ended up at CU. Then Nevada, and then coming to Colorado State. You know, it's just a crazy whirlwind how college sports work. I'm sure we'll probably talk later in the show about the Utah Tech game and how that might, the quarterback conversation might come into play there, too.
Might have an opportunity.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff, you know, with that position right
CSU's
now.
CSU's playing the Utah Tech Grindelwalds?
Exactly. The Trailblazers, I definitely had to look up.
I'm not trying to disrespect the team, but it is what it is, okay? They're in two different worlds. I definitely want to get into more of the quarterback side of things. Kevin's got some updates that you probably read at the Colorado and on the running back situation with both Avery Morrow and Kobe Johnson. I had texters coming in today, Kevin, during the whole show, saying Van Shield, the muscle ram or something. When your name is Van Shield, you don't need a nickname.
Yeah,
we don't need to be you know, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah,
he is a nickname, and that's a positive thing. Van Shield's a great name. If you walk around and say my name is Van Shield, people automatically respect you.
You're gonna remember that too.
Yeah,
old it's Van like oh, who is that I met is some name. No, I met Van.
I met Van Shield.
Yeah, you remember it.
Although he should be a defensive player though. Shield, maybe. Mm. Maybe, or
that's
a lineman.
A fair point. That's
you know?
A fair
Maybe
point.
He should change. We'll talk.
Well, he's a little small for a lineman. I feel like CSU might have some issues. You know, he's like 5'11", 180. That's not a great tackle.
I like guys' names to make exact sense with what they're doing. So we'll talk. We'll see. All right, quick break coming up. Let's talk a little bit more about the win that was. What does that do for this program going forward? The Mountain West, we'll take a look at that. And then, yeah, take a look at what Kevin knows about Utah Tech. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. That is a good one right there. Is that REO Speedwagon? Is that right? That's my favorite. That's one of my favorites.
That's nice. Yeah, that's a nice intro.
It's a good tune.
Well done back there, Micah.
Yeah, good. Micah, tearing it up today, by the way. We don't compliment you ever. Ever, but good job, man. You know,
got the juices flowing. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's do that. Radio.
We got Ag Day coming up.
Yep.
You got pump. One of the questions for you, Kevin: pumpkin orange or alfalfa green? Which one?
I know there's been some. There's been like this little online surge of like, why is it all pumpkin? Where's the alfalfa? And it is basically just trim in the jerseys. I like the Ag Day jerseys though. So
I guess
I'm rocking with the pumpkin. I guess is my roundabout answer.
I always just think of orange when I think of Ag Day anyway.
Yeah.
I know
the orange is
there,
cool. But it's a unique, you know, other than Miami, there aren't really any teams that have this color combo, and it stands out.
Here's a trivia question for you, because it seems like every college in the history of the world at one point was
the Aggies.
Or the Aggies. How many Aggies are there, and how many Aggies were there?
A billion. No one look it up. It's just accurate.
It's a billion. I 100% agree with you at some point. And who cut, you know, you're thinking of names for your team, and then suddenly you're like, you know what?
Well, I want to
like
the reverse. You know, there are obviously still a few still out there. Utah State, Texas A&M. When everyone else was on the name change train, what happened at those schools? Like, nah.
No, we're staying.
We ain't moving.
Yeah, no way.
Aggies for life.
I think there should be a new rule, and no one agrees with me on this, and you probably won't either, Kevin. But nobody should. If you're a Division I at the FBS, you can't have the same name. Everybody has to be something different.
Well, I like that. I want to put that in high school because
the
amount
of Tigers
Eagles in the like Fort Collins, Loveland area. There's the Thompson
Eagles.
Valley Eagles, the Liberty Common Eagles, the Heritage Christian Eagles, now the Wellington Eagles. It's like, come on.
There's Dayspring, and you're in Greeley, Dayspring Christian Eagles.
I know I'm missing some. Yeah, it's like, okay.
There's a lot of
Eagles. Cool. Like, I get it, but
I think it should be a rule. And it's not that hard. There are, watch Animal Planet. There are millions of names.
I'm, and you don't even have to be a real thing. You can make some up, too.
Yeah, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And I would like to see that change.
Yeah.
No well, more, you know.
We'll work on that.
So Utah Tech, they are the
Trailblazers.
Trailblazers? Okay.
So unique enough.
There's no other are there any other Trailblazers in FCS.
I can't say I know all my FCSs, but no, I think that feels pretty certainly I don't know of any FBSs.
I just know of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah. And that's fine. Cross sport, that's okay.
Fun. Totally good with that.
I don't think Portland Trailblazers and Utah Tech Trailblazers cross paths too often, so I think we're okay.
I think we're good. When you look at this team, Utah Tech, what stands out? They're 1-3. They are the Trailblazers. That's one word. And they beat Northern Arizona.
Yeah.
That's what I've got for you, Kevin.
Yeah. No, that's a pretty good summary. This they used to be Division II, just moved up. This is their fourth season in FCS, so a pretty young FCS team, and frankly not very good. They're allowing 50 points per game. 36 is the fewest they've allowed. Granted, they have played some quite good FCS teams, but they're a team that's, you know, just overall struggles, frankly. And it's a team CSU not only should beat, but should handily? Well, good words, Kevin.
And they haven't been very good against FCS.
CSU's been terrible.
Right?
Is it four straight, I think? CSU's basically just been bad against FCS. They kind of foolishly have scheduled some really good ones. You know, you should never play North Dakota State, South Dakota State. Sacramento State last year, I'll say, was a bit of a unlucky one. That's a program that generally has been bad, but they got a really good coach and got really good. But generally, you know, they don't schedule those top ones. This is, you know, a game CSU should dominate, you know, kind of be a celebration type day. Should go 2-2 for the first time since 2017, which,
whoa.
I mean, that's not exact, you know, it's not like the best record ever, and it's been that long since they've had that. So, needs to be a good day for CSU and a dominant day for CSU.
Win the game that you're supposed to, and you're four more, and you're in a bowl.
Yeah.
You know, four
yeah,
more
I mean,
after
if,
that.
You know, everyone always wants to ask about the predictions. I said 6-6 from day one. I thought CSU would be 2-2 leaving non-conference play. That should be where they're at. I think you've got to be feeling pretty decent about bowl hopes.
Yeah. Talk to us about the running back situation, Kevin. We talked about Van Shield a little bit. He's going to get a big opportunity. Avery Morrow and Kobe Johnson both get banged up in that Middle Tennessee game. One sounds like it's a little more serious than the other.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Both guys get hurt, so you had to finish a game with a lead with you know, your top two running backs out. Avery Morrow, Jay Norvell said it's an MCL injury and it'll be out, quote, a few weeks. So we'll see how long that is. You know, there was, you know, just watching the reaction on the field, you kind of worried it might be a bigger one. So hopefully it is just a few weeks. Kobe Johnson's a back. Jay Norvell said day to day, not sure, you know, his stats for the weekend. Personally, I would be very surprised if Kobe Johnson gets any carries Saturday, partially because, like I said, it's a game you should win. So why, you know, get him beat up? Because you're going to need him in Mountain West play. So see if you can sneak a week of rest here and see how he's doing for Utah State next week. So, yeah, it's probably going to be, I expect Van Shield to start. He's a walk-on from Highlands Ranch area. His first year, he went to CSU Pueblo and then transferred up to Fort Collins to walk on. And, you know, really was the number one back in spring because of injury, suspension, newcomers that weren't on campus yet, all that. And he took advantage. You know, you probably didn't expect that he'd be starting a game in the fall, but he took advantage in the spring and earned trust from Jay Norvell. Norvell talks all the time about backups need to be ready when, you know, an opportunity comes up. It was Giles Pooler throwing the trick play pass, and as Van Shield coming in, Van earned that trust in spring because, you know, there were a couple options they could have gone to against Middle Tennessee, but they went with the walk-on because of trust and reliability that, you know, he would do the job, hold on to the football, all that. So he'll probably start, and I expect Damian Henderson, the true freshman, probably to be the next guy. We'll probably see some KJ Edwards, a JUCO transfer as well. But yeah, it's going to be some inexperienced guys carrying the ball.
Good opportunity for a guy like Van Shield. I mean, again, yeah. I know it's Utah Tech, but if you go out and you shine and you light it up, then you're at least going to get maybe a couple of looks a game down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's every time you're on the field, it's an opportunity to show coaches you should be on the field. So yeah, if he can play well, it certainly won't hurt him moving forward, and, you know, perhaps get some opportunities down the road. And again, we don't know you know, you hope Kobe Johnson's back next week, but you don't know if he will be. Sounds like Morrow almost certainly won't be back against Utah State. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, Ag Day. You can kind of sit there and say, oh, you know, one game against a bad team, they'll figure it out. But really, it's for down the road, too.
Yeah, no question. Speaking of opportunities, though, if this game goes the way we all think it's going to go, odds are Braden Fowler-Nicolosi doesn't finish the game. He goes and sits down because they're up big. Do you see Clay Millen coming in with the second team offense if this is a blowout? And what would that look like?
Yeah, so I'm really intrigued. This is one of the things I'm fascinated by Saturday, of what CSU does with the quarterback situation if they are able to blow it out early. I could see a few things. One, do you just rock with, you know, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi for quite a while?
Just the guy, more experience.
The guy is still young, has still barely played. You know, just give him as many reps as you can. Do you get him out? And yeah, what's next? Do you go to Clay Millen and try and have, you know, sort of a get right game for him? You know, build his confidence back up in case you need him. Do you go to young Jackson Brousseau, get him some game reps? Because this could be, you know, maybe the only chance for him to see live game action this year. He would still preserve his red shirt. I could even see, you know, do you maybe throw Giles Pooler a series or two, you know, local kid.
Perfect on the year.
You know, through the touchdown pass and, you know, a big situation. So I could see a lot of different things. You know, I could see them, you know, just rocking with one. I could see almost a rotation of, like, you get a series, you get a series, you get a series. CSU would love to be in that situation, you know, be up 35-0 at half and get to make that decision. So we'll see if it gets to that blowout mode. I'm very fascinated.
Could we see Torrey Horton at quarterback?
Torrey Horton, Dallin Holker says he's a decent passer. He's
got the huge
thing on his left arm, but I guess if he's a righty, he's okay.
Let's just throw him out there, man.
I mean, Torrey Horton, you know, he's got like a 600-some passer rate, and he's perfect, a career-perfect passer. So, you know, maybe he's QB1.
Torrey's one of those guys. Like, that. Growing up, I bet people just couldn't stand him because he's good at everything.
They could probably, you know, give him like 5 days with Tommy Perry, and he'd probably be kicking field goals.
Oh, he probably would be. I would not put that past him. Let's look at, coming up a little bit later on Rams Weekly, we'll look at the Mountain West schedule. Some interesting games coming up this weekend. Good news coming out of the Henry Blackburn situation and Travis Hunter, so we'll talk about that more on the other side as well. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly, presented by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Marinda is a diehard Rams fan. She cares so much about all things Colorado State. So, hey, Rams fans, if you're listening, you're in the mode for some insurance, well, you know you can trust State Farm. Darn sure can trust Marinda Simpson. I'm Brady Hull. We got Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and in our Aloe Fiber studios. And the Rams getting set to take on Utah Tech this weekend at Canvas Stadium. It is Ag Day. Should be a lot of fun there. But there's some other games going around in the Mountain West Conference, and we'll take a look at those in a moment. But this, again, this is a game where you're supposed to win it. It could really be a good confidence booster for you. You start Mountain West play next week against kind of a down Utah State team, but you never know. I don't think CSU has earned the right
just
yet.
Funky Utah State team. Yeah, they play a tough schedule. So
they really have.
Yeah,
I mean, they looked
ready.
Good against Air Force for a moment, and then Air Force kind of took off. Same can be said about a lot of teams that play Air Force.
Air Force took off.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You know, Kevin.
Because of the planes and stuff.
Because of the planes. You get so we're so good at this anymore.
It just flows out of your brain. You don't even know it's happening.
Our brain just creates these amazing things, and you don't even realize it.
What radio?
It's something.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. But I do want to ask you about Air Force.
Yeah.
Because they're looking like the class.
They look really good.
The conference, for sure.
Fresno State might argue.
They might argue.
I would argue.
I need to see.
They've won 2 Power 5 road games. Now, Grant, poor Power 5. Poor-ish Power 5. But Fresno's looking pretty good. I mean, right now, I think those two are pretty clearly above everyone else.
Yep.
Until anyone proves otherwise. You know, Boise State, not bad, but is, you know, looking a little shaky. Everyone else, you know, Wyoming, you know, looks like Wyoming, I guess.
They're
good defense, good, not great, in every game.
Weird offense. Yep. Yeah. But do you think Fresno State, like right now, is better than Air Force? They're ranked better. They got in the top 25. Fresno State did. But I still think Air Force.
It's just always so hard to evaluate that, because Air Force in a head-to-head, I might lean them because they're so freaking hard to stop and no one knows how to stop it.
Nobody knows.
I'm sitting on the fence here. I don't know. I'll say Air Force right now, but Fresno certainly has an argument.
They don't play each other. Do they play each other this year? So here's Fresno State's schedule. They've got Nevada, Wyoming. They do not play each other.
I don't think they do. So
it might be in the Mountain West Championship.
They could be undefeated in conference play for that, for all we know.
Was it you saying this year or was it last year that you're not going all in on Boise State this year?
Yeah, I'm not.
And you would be right so far.
Yeah. They're
fine. Yeah, they're fine.
Like, it's not like it's a bad team. And to be fair, they started slow last year and then figured it out, turned it on. So, you know, certainly not about to rule them out. But the offense doesn't look great. It's really good running. The passing's inconsistent. The defense, not great, and especially Boise's kind of known for those really good defenses. It seems a little down. Again, for the standard they're at, we're kind of picking nits, but they're down a little bit.
Where do you put CSU right now? And I know CSU hasn't played a Mountain West team, but...
I mean, power rankings, if we will. I guess I'll go Air Force, Fresno.
Is Boise there, or is it Wyoming? Or is Wyoming up high?
Those two... I'm not sure which or, so I'm just going to stay on the fence, say Boise, Wyoming together. And then, you know, UNLV has the Vandy win, which is decent. CSU's in that mix. You know, I think it's probably UNLV and CSU next, and then probably New Mexico.
Look at that, yeah. San Jose State's interesting, too.
Yeah, I think they're better than their record, but they haven't done it, so they have to be below there. Utah State right around there, because again, their record's bad, but they've played good teams, so it's hard to figure it out. And then you have Hawaii, and then go a little ways, and then there's Nevada.
Nevada. That's who Fresno State has this week.
That'll be a cruise control game.
That could get ugly quickly there. It is interesting to look at some of these teams. Well, like San Jose State, they were up 10.
Yeah,
it's Air Force, but,
and they have good pieces. But again, eventually, good pieces have to win. You can't just be like, "Well, they're close."
So, how are you feeling then about CSU really making a strong push here? Like, how good do we think have we changed? You posted this, and I agree with it 100% after the Rocky Mountain Showdown. A team galvanized, and so maybe that was, even though they got the win against Middle Tennessee, maybe it was the Colorado game that really showed it started to change the culture for Colorado State. So then the question is, and you've got them winning six, but potentially, could you see this team getting some confidence? Beat Utah Tech, beat Utah State. Who knows with a weird year for Boise State?
Yeah,
I know they've never done it.
Yeah,
but
exactly. I mean, that Utah State game is huge. You win that, you have a ton of momentum heading into Boise. That would be a huge crowd, homecoming game, all that jazz. It's, like you say, a little bit down of a Boise team. It's funny, looking at the schedule, you can see why every game is kind of losable, but also how every game is kind of winnable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the Mountain West is, especially since CSU doesn't get Fresno State. So for the most part, you get, a bunch of okay to good to not great teams that you have a chance to beat.
Yeah, I think you're right. You look at Boise State right now, anyway, it seems like it's down in comparison to recent years. UNLV, you could see that. You could see that happening. Air Force, I mean, again, you're going to have the same problem everybody has.
Yep.
I don't know what you do to stop this team.
Yeah, exactly. That's the you better find a way to force a fumble at a key point type of game.
How do you stop Air Force? Like, is there historic teams like CSU or any Mountain West teams that have shown a history of stopping Air Force?
That's a good question. I need to look at if there is anyone that has decent history, but I mean, you need fast linebackers, sideline to sideline linebackers that, and safeties that can tackle because they're basically linebackers in a game against Air Force. So that's sort of your recipe defensively. And you have to be good offensively just because you're going to have minimal opportunities. That's, your broad recipe, but It's tough to do because your margin for error just becomes really small because of how they eat the clock.
I've already been talking to Jack a little bit about the Air Force because that it just they fascinate me. When you do something unique that nobody really does at that level.
When they do it so well.
Yeah, I mean, every year.
Every year it's like, oh, they lost these two guys that ran for 19,000 yards.
Yeah.
No problem. Let me just replace them with two more.
Two more dudes you've never heard of. Here they go. And they have hard running backs.
I mean, these guys
go hard. How many Mountain West championships has Air Force won?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't need to look.
But they've won.
Yeah, I believe so.
My question is this. Like, every year we say the same thing about Air Force. Nobody can stop them. Yet, why aren't they winning the Mountain West Conference every single
year? They always seem to have a weird loss.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what Boise has done the last few years, too, of find a way to be good and then have a weird loss. So Air Force seems to have one of those every year where it's like, wait, what? What happened? And again, maybe that's the negative of what they do of if you have one of those games where you fumble it a couple times and the opponent falls on it, all of a sudden, like, you're completely derailed. Obviously, we know Air Force, if they get down 14 or something, it's pretty hard in their system to have a quick comeback. So there is some of that, too. If the offense is, you know, it's a very timed thing.
Yeah.
So if it's just off, it can be, you know, it's really off. So I think that's one of the biggest hurdles is they just don't have ways to, you know, extra ways to win.
Yeah, and that's what's so fascinating about them. When everything's working the way it's supposed to work, it looks easy.
Yeah.
But if one mistake or just one third and inches that you don't get for some reason and it's fourth and inches and you make the wrong decision, somehow don't get that, changes everything. So that's, again, they were down 10 points to San Jose State. That was right on that cusp of what you're talking about. If once you get down 14, it's tough.
Yep, and it's just early enough. You know, they didn't have to get out of rhythm or anything. But, yeah, it is tough.
Yeah, well, I'll be curious to see how CSU begins handling their Mountain West schedule, get through this Utah Tech game. It does feel like things have started to turn around. And especially when you look at the loss against Washington State. Washington State's showing everybody that they are one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of tried to say that, but they're really good.
Yeah.
And CSU, I think, now has probably faced the best offenses it will face.
Might slow down a little bit for Colorado State. Okay, final segment coming up. Kevin and I, we'll give our picks.
Let's do some picks.
We'll do some picks. Okay, we'll do picks coming up next. Will the Rams be playing this tune at some point toward the end of this game? Another one bites the dust. Get this game against Utah Tech.
Be your first home win of the year, so I'm not sure it'd be super applicable, but it'd be kind of funny.
It'd be fun. Well, they do the canvas chaos or whatever when there's like you and me in the stands, Kevin. It's just a dinner.
I don't know if I'm authorized to say this, so I won't fully say it, but I think there's a new fun little twist for that. Saturday, given the festivities around a certain celebrated school holiday type thing. So be tuned in.
No, I want to know.
I say I'm not sure I'm really authorized to say
something related related to ag. What could it be? Everybody gets a ram or something?
That would be quite a mess. Stay in your seats till the fourth quarter.
Everybody gets a ram. Some of them are wild. We'll just see who gets what. I know Rams fans are banging that drum of stay at the stadium. We want it to look good. We want it to look good. Chances are the stadium is packed by the time we get to the fourth quarter.
CSU probably, I don't want to say hopes not because obviously they would want that, but they kind of hope that game's done and dusted, and if people are leaving, it's just like, cool. You know, the team did the job. We're going to go ahead to the road and have a beverage.
Yeah.
If it's because you're up 45, I think everyone can live with that.
I think so. And again, it's not like we're going to be seeing this on national television or anything or regional television. I won't
it's
get in trouble
be
for na- that again.
It's going to be nationally televised on the internet.
It will be, yes.
Yeah, that's international.
Is this gonna be
the internet goes everywhere.
Is this going to be on ESPN Plus?
No, Mountain West Network.
Okay. Good, because I've watched games on the Mountain West Network.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, ESPN Plus was rough last week.
That's what I heard.
That was rough.
People asking if I could like do it on my phone. I was like, well, there are broadcast rights, and I would be in some big trouble.
But you could have just done them and sent them to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have told anybody. And then I would have blasted that all over social media. We don't
Brady
need to
tweet out, source sends this.
Source sending game coverage.
Like, well, there's one media member there, so.
Who is it going to be?
I wonder who did it.
Does it get lonely there on the road? You know, it's at
sometimes.
Home. You got a bunch of buddies there.
Sometimes.
Hanging around.
I hung out with some good folks from Tennessee, though, so no, I met some friends.
Tennessee has some nice
They were very
people.
Nice. You know, got some tips about things to do and see and everything.
Yeah.
So, no, they were great hosts.
We don't need to save the CSU-Utah Tech game for last here because
I think CSU will win, yeah.
I think they're going to win. There's no spread.
Let's just say, let's make our own. What's the spread? Or how much does CSU win by?
Choose how much
whatever
credit
you want.
Do you want to give them right now? I mean, a lot of times I see 29, 39.
I would take over. I'll just give you a score. I'm going to say 50 to 10.
Oh, geez. So you're – okay. I was just
– I'm not even doing the math on how you get to 50. They'll figure that out.
50 to 10?
And it'll be late touchdown for Utah Tech.
So Utah Tech is just terrible.
Yeah, maybe
terrible.
I'm just dragging them, but you look at those scores. Like again, I know they've played good FCS teams, so I'm not completely dogging them. But 59 to Missouri State, 43-13 Montana beat them, 63-20 lost to Montana State.
Montana State put up 63.
Yeah, no, again, that's a very good team, as is Montana. Those are always good FCS teams, but I'm not sure they're great at defense.
50 to 10.
Yeah.
You basically Miami Dolphined it. Almost.
Ooh.
You know, almost.
I think I put a 70 burger
up. Did we go
up, 70-20?
Oh. Well, now I don't know. I was like a 30-point spread, but maybe Utah Tech, the Utah Tech Big Birds or whatever. 44 to 7.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
It's basically just copying closely to you.
Just
but
a
not
edit.
Close enough.
It's like, hey, you're like, yeah, you can copy my homework, but change it up a little bit.
A couple of answers. I did. I got most of them right, but I'm like, I'll just get three wrong on purpose so they don't think anything's up.
Exactly.
Okay. I did. I copied your work on this one, but you've studied Utah Tech. You are basically a Utah Tech insider now. At this stage.
I mean, if you Google it, there's not much out there, so I might be, honestly.
They are a logo team, though. A lot of times you go to teams like, you know, the FCS.
Yeah, and it's the blank space.
You can't click them.
I think it's – I wonder if that's because they did change their name. It's the old Dixie State, if people have heard of that. So maybe the logo changed. Google's like, well, if you change your name, we'll
recognize
we'll
you.
Figure it out.
You are a team now. But they do get a click-through. New Mexico, Wyoming. Wyoming is a 14-point favorite.
I'm intrigued by New Mexico. They're playing better.
They
obviously,
give
their
fits.
Their win,
like.
Yeah, and their you know their wins aren't great, but for New Mexico, any win's a good win. Wyoming doesn't blow teams out. I'm gonna say Wyoming wins, doesn't cover.
Yeah, I'm leaning that
like
way.
I'm thinking like a 10 to 13 point-ish.
And the way the offense played last week,
yeah.
For
well,
Wyoming.
You know, Craig Bohl, like if they have a 10-point lead, he'll just like milk that thing to death, which. And they win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, it was a weird game against App State last week. Okay, San Diego State Air Force. Air Force is a 10.5-point favorite here. I always hesitate to take double-digit spreads in an Air Force game.
I don't like the San Diego State team. I think the offense is still broken and the defense isn't as good. I think Air Force win cover.
And I've gone – Air Force has been my – I've gotten that right every week. My picks sometimes
cooking.
Are terrible. But
your picks
Force,
are taking off with Air Force.
They're the only ones that are taking off with Air Force. There's another. God, they should hire us as their marketing team. I'm going to go. I don't like it, but I keep doing it, and it works. So I'm going to say Air Force. They win. You know, they cover that 10.5. Utah State and UConn.
That's an interesting game because, again, Utah State, it's just really hard to judge what they are because of their schedule. So I'm pretty intrigued to see that one. I think they probably win it.
Utah State is a 5.5-point favorite.
I guess probably win and I guess cover.
I think so. I don't know much about UConn. I just see that they're 0-4.
Yeah.
That's all I see right now. Boise State, Memphis. I'm going to say, okay, Memphis is a 3-point favorite. I'm just going to say Boise State figures it out. They get the win.
This is a great game. This is the best Mountain West. I mean, I know it's not a Mountain West conference game, but of Mountain West teams, this is the best one of the weekend. man, this is where I'm torn. I haven't loved what Boise's done, but I kind of agree with you that this is the type of game they just find a way to figure out.
Yeah.
So may now I'm copying your homework.
Yeah, change it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I'll say Boise, this just feels like the thing they somehow figure out. You think they should lose and sort of have, you know, be wobbling, and they find a way to win it.
Hawaii. God, let's say that right. UNLV.
This is an interesting game. UNLV is starting to play well. I think Hawaii's improved.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see Hawaii improve.
Hawaii always has decent fan group in Vegas too, because there's a lot of Hawaiian population there.
Did cover that? Minus 11? UNLV's minus 11?
I'm debating the win.
Ooh.
Which would be an upset. brilliant insights from Kevin. You know what? I'm not sure I fully believe it, but I'm just going to say Hawaii with the win.
No, so far, nobody's holding us to these except for the CSU thing, you know, so we're good there. Nevada, Fresno. I'm going to say UNLV wins. I don't think they cover, though. I think they win that game. Nevada, Fresno State. Fresno State minus 24.5. That's the biggest spread of the weekend.
Big line.
Outside of our made up one for CSU and Utah Tech.
Yeah, big line.
Nevada's bad, though.
Yeah, Fresno wins easily. The line is a toss-up because of garbage time type touchdown, but sure, I'll say they cover.
Okay, me too. Now I feel like an idiot for saying 29 was the spread for CSU Utah Tech, but in fairness, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's so fast.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's hard to guess these because, again, like, you know, there is a scenario where A, CSU comes out really slow and then builds and just, you know, they just can't get that, or B, there's a scenario CSU comes out really fast and then basically just, you know, pulls the plug and rides it out. So
Utah Tech beat Northern Arizona. That's got to mean UNC is going to beat Northern Arizona this year, right?
Yeah.
Surely they can. They can get a dub there. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go, man. A lot of interesting, kind of interesting games.
There are a couple good ones, yeah.
Boise State, Memphis.
Keep an eye on, if you're a CSU fan, watch that Utah, you know, keep an eye on the Utah State game, see if you can learn some, and that Boise game.
All right, my man, Kevin Lytle, great work. I'm going to be out there at Ag Day.
Here we go.
We're going to have fun.
Here we go.
I might wear orange.
Everyone else will be.
I don't know if I'll get in trouble, though.
Everyone else will be.
We're media. We're sophisticated. We're not supposed to do that.
We're taking off.
We'll see. We're taking off, folks. This has been Rams Weekly, presented by Miranda Simpson at State Farm Insurance, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.